Please, just come to order. I'll be doing very little talking today. There are two bills in front of the committee this morning. This is House Resources, February the ninth. And present are members Springer Davidson's son, Pierce Barr, and myself, Cotton. Representative Sund has two bills in front of us this morning. Do you have a preference on which one you want to take up first?
House Bill 29.
That's what we're going to do. I'll give you the floor, Mr. Sund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm John Sund, the representative District 1. House Bill 29 is a bill that's introduced by several of us as a result of an error made in the budget last year that various people, after seeing what happened, came to that conclusion. But just to give the committee a little bit of history on it, this deals with a volunteer tax program that was instituted, started in 76, 77, and that allows the area of the state to form a regional aquaculture association and institute a tax scheme on them, upon themselves. And the original bill that was passed allowed, in this case, Southern Southeast Alaska, all limited entry permit holders to vote to impose a 3% raw fish tax, basically, or gross receipts tax on themselves, to be collected by the processors and turned over to the aquaculture associations directly and not go through state government. And then this funding mechanism was to be used as pledge as collateral against loans to be borrowed from the state to build hatcheries and also to do other enhancement activities within that region. And for the southern region, is basically Petersburg South. There's a northern region in southeast Petersburg North. There's a aquaculture association in Prince William Sound. There's one in Cook Inlet, one being formed in Kodiak at this time. And the original law, which I'll footnote that I had a large part of drafting as a staff person here for Representative Gardner, was challenged in a lawsuit by Wayne Alex from Douglas here as being unconstitutional. And the Supreme Court later upheld that challenge and said that this assessment was in fact a tax and that the associations were not lawful entities of the state that could impose a tax. And therefore, the money had to go to the general fund. So the laws, we wrote some other statutes, did some amendments in 79 and 80 that basically restructured this situation. So now that the assessment is paid by the fishermen, collected by the processors or buyers, and submitted to the state, and it goes in the general fund, and it has to be paid, I think, by March 1st of each year. And we put in the statute, I think it's in your statute, but it's entitled 4376, the language that this committee is now becoming familiar with. We talked about it the other day, language that says the legislature may base an appropriation for a qualified regional association operated within the region on the value of the fishery resources caught within that region rather than the value of the fishery sold in the region if they differ. But basically, the intent is that the money would come in the general fund, the legislature every year would appropriate it to the Department of Commerce. The Department of Commerce would then distribute it to these regional associations. That happened every year until last year, where 100% of the money that was collected was appropriated in the budget and back out. Last year, the House appropriated the entire amount that the Department of Commerce anticipated would be collected. The Senate had a number that was $239,000 lower. The pre-conference committee took the Senate number, and as a result, about $239,000 that was collected from these associations was kept and not passed back. And this bill is a supplemental appropriation to rectify that situation. And I would note that there are letters in your packet from the governor, Governor Sheffield, on June 5th of last year, recognizing and stating that those were what happened and that was the problem, and promising to correct that and not do it in the future, a letter from now Governor Cooper on January 13th stating that he would honor the tax assessments and that the salmon enhancement taxes were established solely to support the enhancement activities of the Regional Aquaculture Association, and consequently, the tax receipts should not be used to supplement general government funding. So we have the past governor, the current governor, basically stating they will honor the program and appropriate the amount of money back. So my request to this committee would be to act favorably on this supplemental appropriation and pass it on to the Finance Committee. What has happened, and I believe the Department of Commerce is here to testify, but it's my understanding that these monies are paid out quarterly, and Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, but you paid out as if it was fully funded. Is that
what we've done is developed.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Simon.
Well, let me just testify then. I'll testify that what it is, and he can correct me. But I believe the first three payments were paid as if the fund was fully funded, and so we're going to be short in the fourth quarter. And I would note also that these funds are also used as collateral for the loans that are borrowed from the state. So we have the associations, people, fishermen paying money to the on this tax, expecting it to come back and help collateralize the loans, and now we have the state taking the money in between before it gets to the loan repayment. So it's a little bit of a difficult issue. But that's the essence of the history of it and where we're at, and I believe there may be Department of Commerce and some other people here to testify on the issue.
Do members have any questions for Mr. Sun? So, does that who you want to have come up here?
I think
from the Department of Commerce.
Department of Commerce, I guess, Bob, if you
have. Yeah, come on forward and please identify yourself and offer whatever testimony you have on the phone. You may want to respond directly to Mr. Sun's questions. Certainly. Do you have a question to speak to before we start, Mr. Schultz?
Hmm.
Oh, okay.
No.
Talk
about
your way.
No, no.
Go right ahead, sir. Please identify yourself.
For the record, my name is Paul Arnold, the director of the Division of Investment, who administers the tax receipt program. We really can't add a lot more to what Representative Sun has said. What he said is correct. The only slight difference would be is that the contracts that we have with the regional associations, we have based that budget on the funding that was provided. So we have not contracted with them for the $239,000. We can't do that. However, we have we do make quarter expenditures for allocations to them, and we base the first three quarters at full funding as if the $239,000 were available. The last quarter, depending on whether this supplemental is approved or not. If it's not, then the quarter is short. That's where a contract is written. It's funded, and we would amend the contract and add it back in.
The department supports the bill?
Certainly, we do. Yes.
Any other questions? Certainly not. Do you have anyone else that you want to have come forward, Mr. Sun? John?
Excuse me?
Do you have anybody else that you want to have testify?
No, I think there's some written testimony in there from the Alaska Trollers Association in our packet in support of the legislation.
Now, my question simply has to do with the constitutional clause where we forbid to dedicate funding. And could you explain that a little more and how this gets around that, or how?
Well, in our constitution, there was a great debate at the convention of whether to have dedicated revenues or not. And the end result was a compromise. All funds that were dedicated at the time of statehood, fish tax license receipt, official license receipts and that, were dedicated, and no future funds could be dedicated without amendment to the Constitution. And we did that in 76 on the permanent fund. So all other receipts that come in are actually categorized as program receipts, so that the legislature and the administration can identify where they come from, but they are subject to annual appropriation by the legislature. And you will find when you get in the budget, there's some in the front pages of the budget, like Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, they appropriate all the interest they've collected every year back to them. And this language here is laid out just to give the legislature, it's the only way you can lay, the legislature can lay its intent of what to do with that money, but provide it and say that the legislature may appropriate this amount of money, and then it's up to each legislature to do it. And this is the problem you run into. If you're sitting there expecting this to happen, you have to educate every legislature as it comes along as to what, you know, what's there and what's not. And, and the policy decisions are made. And I generally agree with that. In Colorado, I think their legislature only has control over 18% of the budget. 82% is all dedicated.
I have a question here.
What we're here for.
025, you discussed this too, that the legislature could base an appropriation based on the amount of fish, or the value of the fish caught rather than the value sold. And it appears that it's collected on a basis of what's sold.
Right.
So you're saying that the legislature could appropriate more if there were more fish, the value of the fish caught were greater than the value of the fish sold?
Well, what happens, Mr. Chairman, is a say in Southeast Alaska, where the you got a regional association line that kind of cuts down through Petersburg. You could have a large volume of fish in Lynn Canal here at Juneau, caught in Lynn Canal. The northern region is actually doing the enhancement work in Lynn Canal. Those fish are taken to Petersburg and they're sold in Petersburg. So they're sold in the southern region. So should the southern region get credit for those fish? So what that allows is that the Commissioner of Commerce can look and take a look at the fish tickets, which record where the fish are caught versus where they're sold, and can move some of that money out of the southern region back to the northern region where the enhancement activity is actually taking place. Mm-hmm. And that's just in there to allow them to do that if it really becomes out of balance.
The total never goes over the total collected, though, correct?
The total never goes over the total appropriated, yeah. And
collected.
Yeah, that's correct. And I would note that where the problem's coming up again, Mr. Chairman, is in the proposed budget. Even though there are commitments by the last governor and this governor, the proposed budget that came out in January shows an anticipated collection of $4.435 million statewide and an appropriation in 88 of $3.2 million. So on that theory, there's a $1.1 million being left on the table here, if their collection numbers, their estimates of collection are correct. So even though we have commitments over here, it's not showing up in the budget process. So I just, this is just one way of focusing people's attention on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I want to clarify a little more in my mind. So now, this is, this program was short of $239,000. In other words, these people paid out the money, and previous legislatures promised that what they were taxed, they would get back for enhancement. This was not the case in this last budget. Now, I guess I want to get back to what Sam was saying. How do you determine how much is spent? Is it you never spend more than what they collect? Is there more? For example, if the enhancement program for that association or that group of people who were taxed for that year, if the bills come in and they are more than what has been collected, who's responsible for the excessive expenditures?
Okay, we're answering two different questions. The legislature never, they never get more than what the legislature appropriates, but on the other hand, they do have a cost recovery program set up in most of these regions. The theory behind the nonprofit associations basically was that if it's a good idea to put a hatchery in, if that's a good assumption, then the question is, should the state build it or should we put these associations together to build it? The advantage of the association is that they could set up a cost recovery program in a terminal harvest area, catch fish, sell them to cover the cost of the payback, to cover the operating costs, and also hopefully pay back the capital costs, which is borrowed from the state. On the state concept. There's no way for the state to set up a recovery program because the state isn't allowed to sell fish. So you can never get the operating, nor can you ever get the capital cost back. So it's kind of an experiment in one sense to say if these associations work, the state really benefits because it gets increased fish production and the fish actually pay for it. And so they do expend more money than they get back out of this enhancement loan program because they have a cost recovery program going on that, hopefully collects enough money to pay for the facility. This allows them to participate in other enhancement activities as lake fertilization, stream clearance, other activities that don't have a means of collecting the cost back.
So then, to the chair, so then the perception that someone who is, say, from Anchorage doesn't have to worry about the perception that he's not going to be taking some of his tax dollars to benefit someone who's catching fish.
Oh, I don't know if that's true. I would say that we've, in this loan program, we've lent out $45 million of state money involved, and hopefully it'll be paid back. It has a good record being paid back, but we've also, in 1972 or 73, approved $40 million worth of GO bonds to build fish hatcheries. Mm-hmm. And that was part of what you heard Commissioner Collins were talking about the other day, that the state made a commitment to invest in all these facilities, and you would assume that along with that commitment came with a commitment to operate them, which we're not seeing now, and they're having to shut them down. But we probably have over $100 million invested in hatchery facilities and enhancement facilities in the state. So there is general obligation money, which is all of our money, regardless of where you live.
Thank you. I was just going to try to, so the program doesn't pay for itself. That's the bottom line. And they need $239,000 this year for the balance of this year, and you had bought 280-some thousand of what it was last year going into it.
Well, this program here was about $3 million of the tax receipts that were collected that supposedly went back. $239,000 didn't go back. But that's all that goes into the nonprofit associations out of state. We can prove some state grants occasionally that they can operate on. But
maybe that's not an accurate statement then. The program does not pay for itself.
The nonprofit program.
And it's $239,000 short. It'll be $239,000 in the fourth quarter.
In a sense of the tax money that was these fishermen voted to put on themselves, that was collected by the state, all but $239,000 was paid back. So we have been funneling it all back, just using the state as a funnel in the past years. But the state, the funnel got sticky and hung on to $239,000 on the way back last year. But there's the only
that wasn't an accurate statement that I made then.
Well, it just depends on your cost value of money. I mean, these loans out there are not market value loans. I mean, in the sense that there are, if you want to call them subsidies or whatever, I'm not sure what a subsidy is in state government anymore. I've become adequately confused. That it's just what state values its own money to be worth. And if you lend it out for less than that, I guess it's a subsidy. And if you lend it out for more than that, you're making money. But, you know, we settled the TAPS litigation, saying a zero discount factor. So we said $1 in 1994 was the same as $1 in 1985, right? I guess that's a subsidy, too. I mean, that's, I don't understand it anymore.
I think it gets back to the idea that in some instances, the state has to come through to ensure that there's something for the private sector to compete for. And I think in this instance, I think it's very important that we show that good faith effort on the part of the state to ensure that those associations and those people who are willing to tax themselves are willing to take the state at its word and will, in fact, get back what they put in. So I'm going to vote for this and think that it's the right thing to do.
What about
Mr. Comment? Just just by making that one statement, I received two comments on agriculture.
As far as what, whether...
Which is questioning. Find that somewhat amazing.
How do they figure the administrative costs of the collections and distributions and so forth? Is that considered at all? Paul? So there is an expense there that...
Right, the cost, whatever cost there is for the Department of Revenue or for us is not included. We basically pass back through what is collected on a forecasted basis.
What is the pleasure of the committee on the legislation, Mr. McGuire?
I move to pass the bill on the recommendation.
Is there an objection to voting the bill? If not, we will move it. House Bill 61 still has to do with renewal of permits on mental health lands. And again, Mr. Sun, you're the prime sponsor. I'll turn the floor over to you.
Hey, Chairman, there are several people here to testify on this, and I just want to give the committee the background of why I introduced this legislation. This is amending a temporary law which expires in June, which seems like coming out of a futile exercise to participate in, but the case that came up that brought this to my attention was a constituent of mine in Petersburg, Rock and Road Construction, had a gravel excavation permit out of a rock pit for the last 7 years, and they had a one-year permit, which they take 5,000 yards of rock a year, which is less than a dump truck a day. And they get the permit renewed every year. Well, this year they applied in a timely fashion in November, and everything was going through, and then it just didn't show up. And on January 7th, their old permit expired, and they hadn't got the new one. And the long story short, it runs in apparently DNR to renew permits that were on mental health lands, which this turned out to be, needed to get approval of the Mental Health Commission to renew the permit. And the Mental Health Commission didn't have time to look these over, or the staff or the resources or whatever reason, they didn't have time to go over these permits. As a result, this expires. This little guy down here has got one dump truck and a couple of road graders is out of business. And it turned out fortuitously that the Mental Health Commission was in the hallway as soon as I got through with the phone call, and I had an opportunity to talk to them personally, and it did get to the top of their agenda by 3 or 4 days later when they had a meeting and they approved this guy's permit. But what they were concerned with was whether they're getting fair market value for the rock that they were selling out of the quarry, and where the money was going and various other things. So what I attempted to do in this legislation was basically to say this mental health commission, or these permits, as I call them later, I think Tom Hawkins or someone here is going to tell you that permits isn't the right word, should have been leases or user fees. As they come up for renewal, that the Department of Natural Resources have the authority to renew these permits pending the review by the Mental Health Commission. So Mental Health Commission, at their leisure, could take these up and reject them if they wanted to, but we wouldn't have the suspension of time from, in this case, January 7th until whenever they got to it, February, March, and they come in and say, oh yeah, that's okay, and they put their stamp of approval on it. In the meantime, this guy's out of business for 3 or 4 months, and nobody ever intended for him to be there. So I was trying to reverse the burden here to say that the department should have the authority to renew them, pending the Mental Health Commission sitting down and saying, hey, we're not getting fair market value or something else is wrong, and we're going to reject it. Tom Hawkins called me the other day and as he was reviewing it and mentioned that the word permit is probably the wrong word. I think there's only 15 permits in the whole state on mental health lands, but I was probably after leases. And I see Bob Arnold is here and others to testify on this. So anyway, that's my intention, and I'm not sure where we're at, but I thought it was the way to raise it to everybody's level here.
Well, just to help better understand this particular situation you're referring to, this person or company's had a lease there for 7 years?
Yeah, but it was annually renewable.
But did it always expire on the 7th of January?
Yes.
And did they always wait until the apply for the...
That's the department policy, is to send out a letter saying, you know, get your new application in here.
So there's no question about whether it was a timely application?
Yeah, that's right.
Does the commission meet regularly?
I think Bob could probably handle a lot of this.
Mr. Arnold, join us, please.
I'm Bob Arnold, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources, and I'm accompanied by Andy Pekovich, Division of Land and Water Management. Tom Hawkins, the plane did not come in, so Tom Hawkins is not here. The department supports the enactment of the bill because its effect would compel timely action by the Mental Health Commission. Our departmental staff in Land and Water have striven, and I think most of the time successfully, to move those priority items to the head of the agenda for the Mental Health Commission to act upon before interests in mental health plan are disposed of. The commission meets, has been meeting every other month in person, at least every month, by teleconference. So most of the time, there should be opportunity to act upon applications coming before the department and then the commission if they're on mental health plans. This one, the department apparently didn't see its urgency and didn't move it in a timely way to the Mental Health Trust Commission. Again, since the effect would be to compel timely action, and we believe most of the time it would be obtained, the department supports the bill. With regard to the change which Tom Hawkins talked with Representative Sun about, we suggest the addition of the word for contract on line 25 of Representative Sun's bill, and the entry of the citations. Permits under 3805.850 or contracts under 3805.110. I'm sorry, I didn't get this to you at the time, but I only learned this morning.
So you're recommending to replace permit with?
To leave the word permit, Mr. Chairman, and to add the word or contract, and then give the appropriate citations in Title 38.
That should be understood in the same sentence there after or content or contract?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
I guess I have a question of whether the Mental Health Commission, DNR, can't do this anyway. Can they just adopt a memorandum of understanding and allow the department to approve these permits or contracts pending their review, or does it take a statute to amend the act to allow them to do that?
I think on that a moment, Andy. I haven't refreshed my memory. We have a lengthy departmental order, which is meant to allow business to move ahead, despite the, well, insofar as it can, for those holders of vested rights, in the wake of the vice court decision. But I don't
think so. My name's Andrew Pekovich, I work for the Division of Land and Water Management. It probably could be done with the departmental order, providing it went back through the intervener and the plaintiff, and I think that was approved by the court as well, and that's a fairly lengthy process, probably as lengthy as the legislature.
Since this is a temporary law, basically, that expires in June, what's the impact going to be?
The impact of this law, I would say, very slight. There would be no fiscal impact, and it would help assure that department staff bring actions of this kind very promptly to the commission.
I might add for the committee that all of these transactions, whether they're 850 or 110 that we expect to use this on, are negotiated transactions. They are fair market value transactions, so there should be no loss in revenue to the we still retain the liability that should we do something which is essentially a wrong management move for mental health, that the intervener and the plaintiff can come back on us for liability. So we are concerned about making decisions that that would not impede mental health and mental development in the future.
Another question. One of the concerns that one of the mental health commissioners brought up to me was where the revenue is going, that this person had an appraisal done last year so that they were fairly assured that they were paying fair market value for their rock. But the commissioners brought up the fact that in some cases they don't want these transactions to happen because it's converting hard rock property or cordwood or trees or whatever into cash. And the cash is going where? Do we have a special account we're putting it in, or is it just running the general fund?
We have several special accounts, Representative, for deposit revenues realized from mental health lands. And so these funds would go into one of those accounts. We even have an account for funds that may be derived from lands which the department does not believe still belong to the mental health trust. So those funds are set aside. They are not dedicated in any action, so they are part of the general fund with special account numbers, and they are segregated, and the amount can be calculated.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
How much is in
it? That's these guys here.
How much is in it? How much?
The last time I had a report on it was several hundred thousand from all transactions in the state. Many lands were sold or otherwise disposed of in earlier times. Of course, the funds were established in the wake of the Vice decision.
How many leases or contracts are there that have annual renewals, or do they all have annual renewals?
Technically, it's not a renewal, it is the person who would come back in. Tom Hawkins researched the number of permits. I'm not sure if we know the number of contracts that would be out there, particularly on those lands. Do you know?
I don't know, no. I would say in Southeast Alaska, less than half.
I would not, on the permit issue, what Tom told me, that he only found about 15 or 20. Most of them were like cabin permits, you know, the permit to go on the land. They weren't extraction uses, and that's where he pointed out I probably used the wrong word in the statute. So that's, I know it's a big problem all of you have got into, like all the municipal entitlement lands for the city of Wrangell are all mental health lands. So their city can't even finish up their municipal entitlement. We had the Marine Parks Bill here last year, and half of the Marine Parks that were in it were mental health lands.
Too bad they are.
I think we'll be familiar, this committee will get familiar with the issue again. Mr. Chairman, I would note that with that proposed amendment on line 25, that the title also needs to be changed where it just says renewal of permits. Probably need to add or contracts after the word permits in the title.
So I assume there's a motion to add after the word permit on line 25, under 3805850, or contracts under 3805110. Is that your amendment, Mr. Sun?
Yes, it is, Mr. Chairman.
What's your objection? How's that? Oh, and the title.
Yeah, and to put the word or contracts after the word permit on line 6.
We just have the title amended accordingly.
Sir, does everyone understand the motion?
Yeah.
Is there objection? There's no objection that passed unanimously. Is there any other interest in the bill at this time?
Chairman, if the pleasure of the committee, I'd like to move the bill with individual recommendations.
Is objection to move the bill? If not, it's ordered. Tomorrow morning, we're going to meet at 8 o'clock with the folks from Commonwealth North, and that'll be up in the governor's conference room. And then at 8:30, we're meeting with some people from Canada on fisheries. I'm not exactly sure what they're going to talk about, but the Canadian fish people are going to be here at 8:30. Which day?
Mr. Chairman, is that the standing Senate committee?
Yes. They were scheduled to be here in November, and I think they had to cancel their meeting for some reason. This is the Senate Standing Committee on Fisheries, and they're having a 1 or 2 day symposium here starting this morning down at I think it's a fishing game and going on all day, and we get to make it home.
There's also a meeting, I understand, with that group at the Lumberjack Room of the Sheffield Hotel.
Lunch.
Yeah.
We're adjourned.
John?
There's also a meeting right now, the permanent fund board director's down at Centennial Hall, and it's an interesting meeting, I'm not sure what's happening.
What's the mental health board, what was their comment on?
That's what it was said on the agenda.
They're really getting with this.
Because they're interested in that.
They didn't like the concept around.
They didn't like the adjustment, assessment policies.
But basically, the commissioners really didn't have a big position one way or the other, as long as they had their rights for these little bad people. And also like.
The mental health, they're telling that each city's like, they live with one off 50 cents.
Yeah, they get a shot on the savior, I'm just saying that collateral, you know, why make some body up?
I'm just gonna head over it.
I just got going around and around on the same issue.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I was just gonna do it right now.